Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
If you want to be my friend, you had better go and get a pen. And maybe we could keep in touch, like they did in the old days. It wasn't so long ago. Oh, and I wish you well. Oh, sign your pen, pal.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the only podcast that's about chain letters you got when you were 14 and felt guilty not doing.
Did you guys ever get a chain letter to your house when you were growing up?
Yes.
We did too.
All the time.
I remember my grandma being like, it's crap, Danny.
It is crap. But then it's like, but if you don't do it, you break the chain.
And then who knew that all, like, you could just end up doing that on Facebook someday and then trying to overthrow your own government.
That's what it is. The insurrection, honestly, was born out of chain letters.
Yes!
Because wouldn't you argue that there is a good chance that all those chain letters probably started in Russia?
There's a bit.
Right?
There's a bit.
That's my voice when I go political. Right?
There's
right.
A bit I do where I talk about us being dumb, like we're dumb people, and I'm like, I'm not bad dumb.
Me
like,
and
not
you like are just all people.
All humans. And I'm like, not bad dumb, not like evil dumb, just like sweet dumb. I go, but a lot of the ways in which we're dumb are like are really bad for us.
Yeah.
And I talk about, I haven't made sweet this part dumb. Work yet, but I talk about how in Facebook, one of the ways in which we're so dumb is we have people go, what was your first car? Who? What's your favorite food? What's your dad's maiden name? Da, 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 like all these things, right? And then they're like, and if you don't pass this on and show your things, you're not a true friend. And I'm like, why don't you just call it what it is? Give me all the information to open your password.
Yeah.
It's literally every security question and people fill it out.
Yeah.
And they wonder why they get hacked.
Yeah.
You just answer every security question for every password.
Because they're not sheep, Daniel. You're a sheep.
That's right. Okay.
Also, what term did you just say? Dumb, what?
Sweet dumb?
Sweet dumb. God, doesn't that sound like a sauce you kind of want? I'll have some sweet dumb.
Yeah, man.
I'll have the chicken with the sweet dumb
we
sauce
are sweet.
On the side.
You and I are sweet dumb.
Yeah, we're sweet dumb.
That
was in my vows when I got married.
Before we do what we're doing today.
I'm gonna dip you in some sweet dumb tonight, babe.
I imagine this is after our live pen pals in Denver. But I would like to preemptively say to everybody, thanks for being there.
Yeah, thank you.
But we'll say it in earnest whenever we
when it happens.
After.
But yeah, right yeah. Now, just know that before it happens, we're already so grateful that it happened.
Okay. Hey, I have business.
All right.
I was on tour.
Yeah.
I did shows.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
People brought weird things for me to sign. Yeah.
Do you hate when people do that?
Like
they're just too on top of it.
But much like you.
And you can't tell if they're being impatient or they're just not good at talking.
Right. Like they don't understand when.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right.
What do they need?
Too much.
Like even when you just want someone to be like, you know, you're not good at talking. You're not good at it. You don't understand.
My Uncle Mike.
I play a solo, then you get to play a solo.
Okay, there's yours. That's a good one. This is my Uncle Mike's. He told me he was at this like the wedding or something thing, right? And he was like, he had to stand around these people and talk to them. And he was like, the guy wouldn't say anything. And I kept trying to have a conversation. And he goes, at one point, I finally said to him, do you understand how a conversation works? There's a bucket in front of us. And I put a little into the bucket. Then you put a little into the bucket.
I like that.
And I was like, oh, I've never forgotten it. Okay.
What do you think that guy was like? Oh, okay. I hate you. No, I hate you.
I hate you. Okay, so people had me signing weird fun stuff. I hope it's a tradition along with getting pies that continues whenever I get to go back out on the road. Okay?
One brings me stuff and I haven't even gone out on the road.
Someone had me sign a box of Spiral mac and cheese and they were like, yeah. No, I want to keep it. I thought it was for me. They were like, no, I want to keep it.
They wanted you to sign it and then have it?
Yes.
Wait, is that what you thought?
No, I thought it was for me. Like, they're like, oh, thanks. I love you because I love Spiral mac so much.
Oh, I would have thought that too.
You know that.
They wanted you to sign it and give it back to
yes.
them.
Yes.
What did they do with it?
And then someone else brought a DVD copy of Fear for me to sign. Obviously, Douglas movies fan. Right. And then someone else brought a Longer Burger basket for me to sign. And they're like, this is the basket I use for Thanksgiving. The dinner rolls are going to go in here.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So then someone brought me one of these to sign. But they also brought one for me and you to have. And they were like, put it in the studio. Play with it.
All right.
Cracker Barrel official,
yes.
Official tea.
Yes.
Official. You can't spend the rest of the show.
I got to get it down to one or I'm an imbecile.
He's opening the package and don't spend the rest of the show trying.
I would just like everyone to know, these are not regulation golf tees.
I knew you would have a problem with that.
And that's why it's crap.
So now we have those.
What does it say when you like? Because at Cracker Barrel, it's like, you know, if you only get this many, you're an imbecile. And it's like, let's calm down, Cracker
it's
Barrel.
It's a whole
I came here
diagram.
To enjoy some chicken and mashed potatoes. I don't need you to tell me my life choices are bad.
It's a whole diagram.
I already know it.
It's a diagram of where all the T's go. And it says directions for being a genius. And then it walks you through how to win.
Oh, it says right there. Ignoramus.
Yeah,
if you leave four or more, you're just plain ignorant. Like, come on, Cracker
by Qualls and Sons Novelties. Okay, and then one more thing, and then we got to go where we go.
I'm not gonna play this.
Katie, our pen pal in Chicago.
I'll do one move.
You're gonna do one?
I can't. Because as soon as you open
yep. It's Pandora's tea game. Okay,
this will go right here. That's our like.
Now we have. I love all of our new pennies and pallers. The letters you guys are sending in. The ways in which you're saying hello
some
to us.
Good shit.
Thank
dude.
You so much. Somebody
Real
wrote us a letter
shit.
Saying, "What's your favorite Halloween costume?" I'm like, "Wait till you get that episode.
Wait till you find out."
So one thing that we love that we did a couple of years ago. I don't know. It might still live on Instagram. Is we ran a thing called Gassers. And we also raised a little bit of awareness about some things we wanted to do
was
at the
that
time.
A couple? No, that was during COVID.
Yeah, it was last
point.
Summer.
So a year.
Yeah, over ish. A year ago. Over a year ago, we did it. So these shirts were made for us by Katie. We each get one.
Oh, my God.
And it says, down, back is one. And it is how you run a gasser with a football field on.
I love that.
And it's a ringer.
Oh, God.
Now, if we ever do 20, we have talked about each of us doing 10. No, we only ran five gassers.
10.
We only
Wait,
ran
we did five?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we only ran five, and I ran six,
it
and you,
like
and you wouldn't
100.
Run the six with me. You go, no.
No.
You go, do I have to? No, I'm an adult.
For us to do 10 each, which is our 20 we're talking about.
But I think one
remember,
goes,
I threw the idea of like you one
perfect.
Person waits.
And that is how we should do
so
it.
So you can do
because
it.
We already get a 45-second break between each gasser.
Yeah.
We would just rotate so that one of us would be running while one person.
Yep.
We should do it. We could wear those.
Yep.
I'm
All right, in, there it is.
But we'll find a day.
We'll find a day.
So, Katie, thank you so much for that.
Things feel safer now, even though that we're in the middle of all of it again.
Well, even that,
it
we
still
were
feels
alone on a football field.
That's right.
Other than the trainer, Dan. Remember Dan Steinberg was with us?
He was there to monitor and just confirm that we did do it.
And confirm that we were not athletes like
yes,
him.
Yes. Yeah, he looked just golden.
Golden.
And I think he was there to show off a little bit. He knew his Instagram
I would too.
Live. I admired that. Here's what I want to throw out there for anybody who is curious about what we did in Denver. We did a live show.
Yes.
That doesn't mean we're necessarily starting to do a bunch of live
no,
shows, but here's what I will tell you. That came up as something we were able to do because it fit into our schedules. It's a comedy festival that's taking every precaution possible.
Yes.
Everybody in the audience has to show proof of vaccination and wear masks, mm-hmm. and they police that as best as they can. I'm not here to ask you your opinion on any of that. All I'm saying is that is why we went out and were able to do that and experience that again. And so I can't sit here and say we won't do that again anytime soon, because I think it just comes down to the right conditions.
And if they're right, we'd love to.
And if the timing is right with our schedules and the conditions are respectful like that, I don't see why Daniel and I wouldn't try to do it if we can. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But if you were there, you were there. And if you weren't, just know it's our goal to do more of these. We love it.
Love it. All right. So thank you so much for those. Thank you, everybody who came out. I love seeing our pen pals. It's like meeting a friend you haven't met yet. Okay. Ready?
Let's go to the letters.
I am proud of you. Dude,
not playing the golf tee game yet?
When did you know you were in the pocket? Because you never
5 seconds,
know. Right.
5 seconds.
Okay.
I felt something in my throat that felt like clarity.
Yeah.
And then I quickly went over just to check the oxygen levels. And I was like, we're good. I think we got it. I think we can do it. We can land the plane.
All right. You ready for this?
Yes. And then the rest of it. Yeah, I'm ready. I knew I could land the plane. I just don't know how to open the door to get out.
Boy.
I cannot get to the jet bridge.
I need you on that jet bridge. Get out there for your family, for my family. Okay. There's a thing about this letter that I like about the letter that isn't even about the letter.
Okay.
I'll tell you. Here we go. Ready?
No, that made perfect sense.
Hi, pals. Long time, first time. I'm late to the game, but I'm writing about a family tradition, ham day. Now, I'm not an original hammer, but I'm writing as a past host, best dish winner, and all-around decadent hammer, wishing to spread the good word. As legend goes, it was November 2008 when a friend, we will call him D-Rap, received a honey-baked ham from his employer. Living in a college dorm and not having a proper kitchen, he promptly invited friends over to his dorm room to eat this ham, and thus, Ham Day was born.
Isn't this already fun?
Yes. 14 years later, Ham Day has become an annual event and has evolved to include t-shirts, ham songs, a mascot, and a best dish contest judged by D-Rap. Every year, we struggle with two questions. One, when and where is Ham Day? Do we go summer and have a friend with a pool host, rent a cabin by a lake, or Do we go fall as an eating warm-up to the holidays and when it's not so hot and a bit more pleasant to get the meat sweats? Number two.
I already have thoughts on number one.
The personal struggle of what award-winning dish to make. You'll be happy to know that I won with a bacon caramel apple pie. Don't even stop.
Fuck.
I know. And to everybody who brought me pies at the live show, I love you. So I'm wondering if you can help us decide once and for all the when question, and if you have any recipe suggestions for award-winning dishes. The only rule is that it must contain pig product. I'm also hoping, if you read this letter, it will spread the joy of ham across the world and others will start hosting their own ham days. In ham, Nikki. Nicknames were not changed to protect the innocent. You can say them if they have an asterisk, which Nikki's did. P.S. Hanesville General Store in Hanesville, New Jersey, true northern Jersey by the Pennsylvania and New York borders, has the best dang blueberry pie you'll ever eat. P.P.S. Any clutch song for the maybe non-existent playlist?
I'll call a quick timeout. The playlist does exist, and I just realized we probably have not announced that to our new pennies and pallers that are getting involved with listening to this show. We have a playlist that...
I don't even know how to find it.
Who did
I'm not a Spotify-er.
Aristotle or Noah Aristotle or Shanley?
Aristotle.
Throw out all the people who I think might have done
Emily
it.
Emily
Cox maybe put this together, but it is the Pen Pals Pod playlist.
That's
and
it.
And I'm going to give you the exact title right here because I follow it. I hate it when you can't. Official Pen Pals Playlist.
Will you do me a favor?
Look that up.
Will you put it in your link tree, Rory?
Yeah.
Okay, it'll be in Rory's link tree.
We'll put that in the link tree. And you guys know that'll be probably 3 months from now. I'll get that.
He's getting better. Okay. So
time in, game on.
Right.
Game back on.
Okay. Ham day.
Yeah.
First of all, can I tell you something about this group? Even though it's been 14 years, let's say it happened when they were 18, 17. That puts them at around 30 to 32.
Yeah, but let's say 20. Let's go 20. They were 20 when this happened.
No, it was freshman year dorm, wasn't it?
Did I miss that?
Received a honey baked ham. Living in a college dorm and not having a proper kitchen. I don't know. It feels like freshman year.
Yeah.
But you're right. You could,
let's just say 20 because we're so bad at math.
Okay. So somewhere between 30 and 35.
So now let's say they're 35 years old.
So they're 39 years old. Which is too old to be doing
still works
ham
for me.
Day.
that's our take.
We try to kill it. No, early 30s.
Grow up, right? Grow up.
This is my guess. Making a guess here. Early 30s. Not a lot of people in this group have kids yet. Because once they will, you will have to pick when ham day happens.
It will have to stay the same
and every
year. Yep, and you will lose. The very first time you pick that date, you're going to lose half the group.
Yeah.
They can't do it.
I was going to go third.
I have thoughts on number one.
Okay.
Does this person have kids? Because there's some...
Yes, they have. Okay. Yes.
Thoughts on number one. Here's why I'm not thinking in the fall. And based on your reaction, I can't tell if you're for or against that.
I yelled in my head, if it's warm, just go ham sandwich.
Thank you. I don't go fall because I think you're just stacking up too much into Thanksgiving.
Yep.
I already have a lot to say about Thanksgiving into Christmas into New Year's Day. If Christmas is even close to New Year's Day, I'm like, in terms of the menu, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanksgiving.
I mean, they're always the same distance. But
when some people have like turkey at Christmas, I'm like, what are you fucking doing? I get mad.
Really?
You just had it.
You don't smoke a bird?
You just had it.
Were you a prime rib Christmas or are you a prime rib New Year's ham Christmas?
I'm trying to do less meat, note. But
okay, but I
you
just
know
made
what I
traditionally
did?
In your life.
Do you remember what I did last Christmas?
You gave me your heart and the very next day.
I gave it away. Mm-hmm. You gave it away.
Mm-hmm. Well, this year.
I did a beef Wellington.
To save you from tears.
Beef Wellington. I made a beef Wellington.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So much fun.
You were all
so
about
delicious.
It. You went, it was bolognese and then it was beef Wellington.
I think we decided that beef Wellington was going to be the Christmas meal
you went,
every year.
You went, some people say you went ham at that. Stop. I can't lose him.
I'm curious on your thoughts. Do you feel that way? Are you like, fall is not the time to do it?
Look, I have times. I have
college football. Maybe I'm wrong.
Or
get everybody
football,
together.
Not a good time.
No, maybe get everybody together because of college football.
Okay. Here's my thing. As a man who plans things with his groups of friends every single year up at the cabin.
You are so good at that, by the way. I wish I was that.
You know,
I wish
this
I had
year,
that.
This year, we did 90s movie draft.
I know.
And
you're so
like,
good at
Rory?
Going, we're going to do the thing. The fact that we even watched Hoosiers at all.
Ever.
I can't believe it.
You made it happen,
though. It took 2 years.
You made that whole day happen.
That was 2 years from when we thought of that to when it happened.
But it was perfect.
It could have been perfect sooner.
Right. Or we could have done it 3 weeks after and it could have been kind of meh.
Yeah, it's true.
So
it's true.
Planning something like that, I can tell you, there's windows of opportunities to get people to do things. Mm-hmm. My best guess, just at like throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks, either 3 weeks before or 3 weeks after the 4th of July. Because
why is that?
A lot of people do vacation a week before, a week after. Summer is kind of starting up at the beginning of June, but nobody really has like gotten into their plans yet. Kids just got out of school.
Oh.
The other one, 3 weeks after, puts you far enough away from Labor Day.
From
when people,
that day.
People definitely, yes. 3 weeks
and also
after
from
4th of
July
4th.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yeah. Puts you far enough away from Labor Day. There's a good little window right in there.
I like that.
The other one, go for a April to mid-March. You're coming out of winter, but the year calendar
now
hasn't
talking
gotten
about,
crazy yet.
Well, now, here's the thing, and I can't get away from the fact that
people
can't
do
get
ham for Easter.
I can't get away from the fact that they that maybe it, like the kids And I mean this with all due respect, the kids are going to fucking ruin this whole thing.
That's why you got to pick a, you have to pick a time
gonna fuck
and stick to it.
You do.
I tell people, well, I don't have to do it anymore, but I told people 15 years ago when we started this, I said, put it in your calendar like it's a wedding and you have to be there on that date. Now, does that work for every guy every year?
No. Understandable.
But you know, out of 16, you know how many we had last year? 12.
25.
12.
We've grown.
12.
Business is booming.
So you would just say, like, this is when it's happening. And if you want something to be special, treat it special. You send someone a handwritten invitation to something,
they're gonna
feel like they have to go.
Handwritten invitation.
They're gonna be like, fuck, he or she really wants me.
Do you think D-Rap is quarterbacking this thing? Or do
yes,
you think the
I
whole
think D-Rap
group...
got it all going. I mean, D-Rap's judging the dishes and probably inspire the songs, and then other people, that's the best when it starts to snowball without you having to.
You know what? Because of this, D-Rap, I bet, never has kids. D-Rap is like, I have my kids. I rent a cabin by a lake. Here's what gets me excited.
You already know
I'm
me.
Not saying that
Come
this
on.
Can happen. I'm not saying this can happen, but everyone has like a couple cabins on a property near a lake and everyone's in their own space. And I mean, that's a fantasy because that's hard to pull off, but God, that would be so fucking fun.
So when's your year? If you put me to it, I would say, do ham day.
I like your time frame. I think you're really smart about that.
I do ham day.
Also, July 4th, you're doing burgers and hot dogs. So you're not, you know what I mean? You're not Thanksgiving turkey and then Christmas turkey, which is just
whatever Saturday
to Jesus.
Whatever Saturday is the Saturday tied to the 4th of July, do ham day 3 Saturdays after that.
Oh, you're talking about establish this.
Yes.
So let's say it's July, what? That's late July. You're saying late July.
So let's say the 4th is on a Monday. So that year it was July 2nd was a Saturday.
Late July
so
by
you're
the lake.
21 days, it would be the 23rd.
Late July by the lake.
Yes.
Or if not, you do the friend with a pool. Have them host. You got to have a swimming thing.
You do?
Yeah. You just need it. How many days do you think they get together? Is it just one day?
Well, if you're renting a thing, it's got to be a weekend. Right?
Yeah.
But I bet if you're renting it, some people roll in Friday night. Some people get there Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. You do it that whole day.
Let me ask you this. You're putting it together. Is your win late July and is your where the lake, the cabin that 100%. You want to burn down?
Yeah. Right. But traditionally, that's when we do mancation. So I'd probably have to go 3 weeks before because I've already slotted that time.
Nah, you combine them. Get new friends with new people.
No.
You get it from 12 up to however many come to ham day.
How many of your current friends would you feel fit right in the fold with your high school friends? It's a different vibe.
You know what?
Because they're going to be like, do we really want another Rory?
You know what? I don't think no one wants another Rory.
Another Daniel. My group doesn't want another me.
It is
Although
tough.
I do think you would fit in.
Here's what I wonder. I wonder if all of my friends from high school... And I get all my friends that work in comedy. And here's the thing. I think all my friends from high school go, Jesus Christ, that's too fucking much. And they're right. Mm-hmm. Because I know this side. We all have a similar personality traits that, mm-hmm. you know, benefit us. So we make money off of these.
So technically, do you think we should do 2 bachelor parties for you?
Yes.
For our new listeners, Rory never had a bachelor
party. I never had a bachelor party.
And I've tried to plan it multiple times to no
My buddy
momentum.
Kyle Raby is getting married, and I'm already like, I'm going to start planning this thing now. I haven't even been asked to do that. And you know what I'm thinking? I haven't even been asked. I'm like, what if I just throw him a bachelor party? And he goes, this isn't what we're going to do. And I go, then let's do that too.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Let's keep doing it.
So you're voting for less fun in your life.
You're saying less. It's going to be golf anyways. You're saying less golf? You're going to play golf anyways.
I don't know why we just don't do the Waste Management Super Bowl weekend for your bachelor party.
Super Bowl weekend.
Waste Management Open is also Super Bowl weekend.
This year?
Well, probably not this coming year, but 2022. But you've waited this long. You've waited, what, 7 years?
I'd go out there, try to get a little suite in the par 3. What is that, the 16th hole?
Yeah.
Try to be able to see the tee box for 17. Get out of town.
Okay, last question.
What award-winning dish
yes.
to make? I got to tell you what, bacon caramel apple pie, shut the fuck up.
Sounds like a 60s song. Bacon caramel apple pie, you were young and so was, no? You've never where did bailed that come on me from? Like that before.
Where did that come from?
It's a real song. I just changed the front load. Of the
I
lyrics.
Did not. I think
oh, so
I was
you were
stunned.
Looking at me. Okay.
I was like, did you just write that?
It's like peaches.
You were young and so. I was like, God, pie. It's got depth.
You were young and so was I.
Oh, that's a real thing.
That's a game we used to play. Man, I wish I had kept singing the whole thing because your mind would have melted.
It melted like, off just that. You thought I bailed. I was looking at the Sistine Chapel right in front of me. It's like, Jesus, Daniel's a really good songwriter.
You put your hand on my arm and you go, quit comedy.
Why are you doing this? What are you hiding? Go, do that. Go, oh,
you're
go
like,
forth.
It's like Last of the Mohicans, you're sending me off. Don't, I will find you, but yeah. You must go.
Yeah, we can podcast anytime. Go write these fucking songs, dude.
Oh, man. And then I realize you don't know any music before the 60s, so I'm like, yesterday.
What?
We're going to get sued for that. Okay. All right.
I welcome all lawsuits. Any press is good press.
Conan's like, guys, we did not bring you in.
Guys, we can't do this.
Okay.
Wait, what award-winning dish to make, and it has to have ham in it.
I would like to do some sort of spin on a green bean casserole.
That's what I was going
to
ask you. Do you want to do a main? Do you want to do a side or a dessert?
I love a side.
I love a good side.
You know why?
Because sometimes it is a main.
And when you see people go back up just to get more of your side, yeah. And then you look at everybody who brought an entree and you go, sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Guess some people just like a good casserole.
And you look across the table at Tristan and you're like, fuck you, Tristan.
Did I win now, D-Rap? Did
yeah.
I win now?
How about that, Tristan?
I don't know a lot of good. People love pork belly. I'm not a pork belly guy.
But didn't pork belly.
What if you did mini cubanos?
Didn't pork belly have
big,
a day? It had a day.
Big day.
It had yes. a big day.
Yeah.
I think it's still going.
For some people, it
slowly people are falling off of the train. Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't care about it anymore. It's mm-hmm. not special anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not against it. Throw some at me right now. I'm going to eat it.
I love.
And that's coming from somebody who's eating less meat.
I think I tend to love sides.
Who am I kidding? And I'm fucking eating more meat than I've ever eaten in my life.
You're a tall sham.
My whole life is a fucking sham.
You're like, I know my wife sometimes listens.
We're eating meat casserole. That's bacon wrapped in ham mixed with steak and burgers.
You just gave it to me.
Bacon wrapped in ham.
No, but you did the bacon wrapped.
Okay.
Bacon wrapped dates.
Yeah.
Oh my yeah. God, kid. Yeah.
When a restaurant does that right, and I say restaurant because how many houses are you going to where someone's like, guess what I made? You're like, shut up.
I've had it happen where someone blew me away with their, and I was like,
yeah,
stop.
Bacon wrapped dates.
But what I was saying is I think I love apps and side dishes almost more than entrees. Like even when part of the thing I love about Indian food is I'm putting this little shit together.
But Indian food, I just want to drink the sauce.
You can.
To me, the rice.
They'll let you.
And the paneer, because I'm going less meat, which is still dairy. I'm like it's just a conduit.
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
Yes.
It's just a conduit to get the sauce into my body.
Yeah. Soak up as much of that.
That's why the naan bread is so great. When, if someone was like, here's some tikka masala sauce and just naan bread, I'm like, okay, that's all I need.
What do I need?
That's all I need.
Well, it's completely sustainable. What about you? So I will go with either I would try to do some sort of casserole with bacon in it, but as a side. And I think if you can put some spin on the bacon wrap date that makes people lose their shit, but I don't know what that would be. I'm not a good cook.
What's
a really good eater.
What's a turducken you could pull off here that's like bacon? Is there a bacon ham pork belly?
That's wild.
Turducken kind of thing? I don't know what it would be. I'm spitballing.
I'm not a smart man.
Look, I know.
But I know what food is.
Food is what we graduated in. So we can't. I do know what food is.
That's my Gump. I'm not a smart man, but I know what food is. Do you? Well, you are a good cook when you want to be. You focus on one entree and you perfect it. Am I wrong about your bolognese
and your
beef Wellington? And there was another thing you were doing for a while too. You'll even get into this with cocktails. You're like, perfect. Isn't that the perfect Negroni?
Yeah, I have to be driven. I have to be driven.
So yeah, But you get in,
yeah.
Dane. You distill, no pun intended.
You know what I'm on now? When I do, when I go for it, I'm old fashions.
Oh, of course, man.
That's but what I'm.
Someday you are gonna have an old fashioned up at the cabin with me, and you're gonna go, wow, that's where it started.
Yeah,
it's like the official cocktail of Wisconsin.
Is that true? Oh yeah, yeah, it is. But
usually brandy.
Why did I know
a brandy old fashioned?
Brandy old fashioned. I may make an old fashioned tonight. I don't give a shit.
It.
I'll fucking do whatever I want. I don't know what I'd make. I do love idea of trying to figure out what can the dessert
curveball.
Be.
Curveball. I bet there are people who have done, with bacon, obviously, a like wild Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's my dish. And people are like, oh, a little outside the box.
Here's what I think. Here's what I would do. And I know that I shouldn't technically get credit for this.
Okay.
I go to Magpies. You know, they do crazy. And everyone lives in a place where there's an ice cream place that does crazy flavors.
When don't you go to Magpies? You made me go to Magpies.
I know. And I'm not wrong.
I think you only wanted to hang out so that I could stop by Magpies.
That one time, that is the truth.
Okay.
I think you go to one of these artisanal ice cream places where they experiment. It's all in-house.
Sure.
And you have them do a ham bacony kind of ice cream because you know they can do it. You know they're going to pull it off. Mm-hmm. And you show up and you go, look, I'm not here for the ribbon because technically I didn't make this.
Right.
But this is ham flavored ice cream and you're going to fucking love it. Because if it's a place like Magpies, they pull it off. I've had soy sauce ice cream there and it was delicious.
Lord, you are a wild card.
I know.
Soy?
Soy sauce ice cream.
Sauce.
It was so good. I tried it because I was like,
no way.
It's on the menu.
Right.
I get there and I'm not getting that. But I go, can I try it? I have to know. And I think they've been doing it all day. They're like, of course. I tried it and I go, I'll take a cup of that. I'll take a cup of that with sprinkles on it.
Okay. My last thing.
Yep.
There's also something to be said, and you just popped this into my mind. There's also something to be said for just doing the thing right.
Yeah.
Now, I know it has to be a side dish, but at some point I'd wonder, could you just do like, I guess they wouldn't let you. The reason I'm thinking about this is I was like, just a ham. Like, I just did this ham. This is how I do it. I just want you guys to try it. But I think D-Rap probably has the ham part unlocked because at one of our close friend, Michael Muse, Chef Tuffy, their restaurant ever. I'm not going to give it away, but I'm going to tell you this. They do something so classic, so ordinary. You can get them everywhere, any time of day, anywhere in this country. They do it so simply perfect that you're like, well, that's the best of that. They didn't spin it.
Yeah.
They didn't. They just goes, no, we're just going to give you one of these.
Yeah.
And you could go 100 places and get 200 of them, but we're just going to give you one of these. So sometimes I wonder if you could just be like, I just made the perfect bacon.
Yeah.
Just made bacon.
Yeah.
It's going to
be. But I did it right.
But I did it right.
Yeah.
Maybe it's infused or got some flavoring on it, but
you made me think of something right there on like a main dish.
How much we love these.
You do Philly cheesesteaks, but shredded ham. Is that a thing?
I don't even know. I've never had a Philly cheesesteak.
Is shredded ham a thing?
Yes, you can shred that ham.
There you go. I'd show up and do that. Get the Omarosa rolls.
Think about it. You do that, and maybe a little bit of cheese sauce. It's essentially like ham and cheese, but a Philly ham and cheese.
Yeah, if you got the right roll. You got that good ham.
Do mini ones.
Do mini ones. And I mean smaller than what you're picturing.
Yeah, yeah.
Two sizes. Do it so it's stupidly small and deeply unsatisfying.
All right. I love this. Let us know where you land. You know my vote. Did you say yours?
I think I said cabin by a lake, but I liked your summer.
Okay.
I liked your summer.
We're in line there. All right. 3 weeks before or 3 weeks after the Saturday tied to 4th of July and make it stick. Nikki, thank you so much. We wish you well. Sincerely. Your pen pals, Daniel Van Scovel
and Rory Van Kirk. And we're back
together
folks.
Again.
You're listening to the Pen Pals podcast with Rory Scovel and Daniel Vaniel Canyon.
We're getting so many great letters.
We're getting a lot of, obviously, we've got new listeners coming aboard.
So wonderful. And old friends.
So we're getting a lot of, we have old friends who are still, have been with us from the jump. They're still with us. They write us letters, but we're getting new letters all the time. And it's been fantastic. Now, let's say you're the kind of person who wants to send snail mail, which we love.
Oh, it's the best.
We love it.
I mean, we have the best listeners, because everything is the best. Any great letter is the best, period. But it is a fun
one. One of these episodes, we're going to go through and list some of the stuff we've gotten in the snail mail, because it's truly remarkable what people have made, mm-hmm. the amount of Cracker Barrel gift cards we've received, mm-hmm. Subway gift cards. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's crazy. But if you want to send us any kind of snail mail or anything that's physical, you're going to want to send that to Care of the Pen Pals Podcast, 5419 Hollywood Boulevard, Suite C, as in cat, number 121, Los Angeles, California, 90027. Hit us up.
Or just email us still.
Or just email us. Email us. ThePenPalsPod@gmail.com. All right. Roar. We got another letter here. Any announcements? Anything you want to say?
I don't think so.
Me neither. Here we go.
Okay.
This letter is titled Dealing with Tragedy. Here we go.
Okay.
Hi, Rory and Daniel. How does that feel?
Wrong.
To address the order, I put Rory first as I came across his comedy first, but I love you just as much, Daniel. I'm both a paler and a townie. I'm writing for your help in dealing with an impending tragedy.
Okay.
Here we go. My mother recently had brain surgery to remove a small tumor we all thought was benign. The surgery went very well, but a couple weeks later, my mom called my brothers and I, along with our wives, to her house to discuss something in person. I had a feeling it was bad news, and I was unfortunately right. She told us that the biopsy of the tumor revealed she has a rare and aggressive form of brain cancer, and her doctor told her the time she has left is likely measured in months, not years. She then spoke to each of her three sons alone to say goodbye, since she doesn't know how long she'll have all her faculties. She said she is sorry this is how it is ending, and insisted I promise her I would have a joyous life. This tells you all you need to know about how wonderful a person she is. Even in the face of death, all she cares about is the happiness of the people around her. Through tears, I promised her I would lead a joyous life, although at the time it felt like a lie. I have been so lucky to have such an easy life that I don't feel prepared for this. My mom is only in her late 60s, and I just assumed I wouldn't have to deal with this for another decade or more. How do I make the most of the time I have left with her? How do I take care of my dad, her husband of 42 years and the best man I know, throughout her final days and after she's gone? She is physically healthy, but I worry about how he'll cope on his own. And finally, how do I keep my promise to my mom to lead a joyous life? I have a loving wife I'm still crazy about after 12 years together, and an adorable 4-year-old son, so it should be easy, but right now it doesn't feel like it. Your pen pal, Sean. P.S. Thank you for all the laughs you have provided me over the years. You two cackling idiots never fail to put a smile on my face. Sean! First and foremost, goes without saying, but fuck, dude. Very sorry.
Yeah.
Very sorry to hear it. I can't even begin to imagine that moment of not only hearing that news, but also going and then sitting down with your mother to have this type of conversation. I mean, I have to imagine it's just intensely surreal.
I've had a couple.
To be living in that moment.
It is.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's like, it is a, it's like a context, mm-hmm. or like a weight that right. you are, no one could ever prepare you to like feel comfortable in.
Right.
And there's positive things like that, right? Like no one is prepared to feel like they just won an Oscar unless you're Meryl Streep. But like, but even in a sad sense, you're like, man, you are, it's like swimming at night.
Yeah.
You kind of have a feeling for what you're supposed to do, but you don't really know where you're going to go.
Yeah. 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 And,
so
and you can't see.
Right.
And the water's terrifying.
Yeah.
Even in a pool.
Oh yeah.
Even in a pool.
I did it in the ocean. I haven't even told you the story. It's a whole other thing for a completely different context.
You're going to bail on swimming in the ocean at night?
I went midnight spearfishing in Hawaii.
You did tell me this.
And it was terrifying.
Yeah.
But amazing at the
yeah.
same time.
Yeah.
But I think a little bit of this is that feeling of like, oh, I'm just going through this hallway of what the fuckness, and I'll find yeah. a door, I hope. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's heavy, and it's yeah. scary, and it's hard, and I...
Well, I think some positive quick takeaways is the fact that you did have that moment. I think at some point in your life, you'll look back and really cherish the fact that you, you know, obviously you don't want to have to sit down with your mother in this situation, but there will be a time in your life when you are so grateful that you did have that opportunity to sit there alone, the two of you. Nobody really, and I'm making an assumption here, but nobody may be really holding back, because this almost seems like, you know, well, you got to shoot the ball, and it goes in, you know, it goes in or it goes out. I think this is one of those situations where it's like, maybe I won't, I don't want to say that. I'll say that next week. You know what I mean? That thing that happens throughout our lives with so many relationships, almost, I would assume, dissipates in this scenario. And, you know, even days after, and even weeks after, under the assumption that maybe she doesn't immediately lose her faculties, if she's going to,
yeah,
you still are sitting and living in an opportunity to really express emotion and vulnerability and gratitude to someone that means so much to you. I think what I'm trying to drive at is how that's a huge positive thing to get to have,
right,
in a horrible situation. Because no matter what we are all you. Going to pass away. We are all going to lose friends and family members. And a lot of them are going to be in situations where you're just going to get a call or a text or a
email. You?
Yeah.
You shared about it on this show.
Yeah.
You feel the benefit of having such a great conversation with your father that same day.
Yeah.
Earlier that day that ended in a place of relation. It was you were exercising your relationship in that moment. You were having love and familial bonds that were being exercised as well. And so I know that for you, as you shared here, but you can obviously always tell your friend Daniel, like, let's move through this. but you had I know that means something to you, as it should.
It means everything.
It kind of is a half step a little bit for you between people who get the like transitional goodbye, which they're kind of in, and I've experienced it and been in, and you have a friend, one of your best friend, you kind of experienced a transitional goodbye that still was like, wow, that fast, or that's it.
Right.
But the gone.
Yes.
The gone. And you, how amazing that you had that moment, because it kind of puts you in an in-between space of the gone, but also that, well, I just got to at least have one of those.
I'll say it in this way. I just lost a friend. Well, you may or may not know, Mike Hall, who worked at.
Not to make this weird, I have a friend named Mike Hall that I lost earlier in my life.
Is that true?
So, yeah. Well, I would. What I just do like the worst bits all
Your
of a sudden.
Pranks are supposed so avant-garde.
But no, yeah, my
very
friend,
avant-garde pranks.
Nobody knew he was sick for a long
no
time.
No one steal that sketch. Daniel and I are going to do that at some point. Avant-garde pranks.
So how wild to hear you say that, because I was like, different.
And the Sklar brothers knew him really well as well. He ran the Comedy Zone in Charlotte, and great guy, absolutely incredible host. When you came to the town to play his club, how much he made sure you had stuff to do and like went to see things in Charlotte. And like, truly, you were just like in your hotel room and he's like, come on down, we're going to whatever. And you'd go and you just go do stuff with this guy. And he was just a sweet, wonderful person. But he just passed away last week, and I got that information, and it hit me. It hit me with a ton of bricks. I mean, when I find out someone... Now, I obviously, it depends on the level of closeness you have in the relationship, but it hits very hard now, because it takes me back to all the people I've lost in the past 2 years, and it all kind of compiles together in one big grieving thing. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, I had remembered. I was like, God, I feel like I wasn't even that long ago. I was just texting with him, and so I went into my phone to look at our last text, and I had written to him through whatever our conversation was. It just led me to go. I just hit him and I said, you know, thank you for being such an amazing friend to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it means a lot to me.
Yeah.
And he said the same thing back. And while that isn't some sort of that doesn't necessarily help with the loss, and you still are sad, there is something to be said about knowing that you did say something, that you did say, express yourself to someone with who you love with some kind of gratitude or something to just say, you mean a lot to me. That alone, you mean a lot to me. And you can leave that relationship as it is now gone, knowing, well, I did say that, and I feel good that I said that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes me feel something with this, where, you know, you don't want to sit there and have this conversation with your mother, but to sit there, and I can't relate to it. You can speak to this more than I can, but to sit there, knowing what I now know about losing some people by surprise, to have a moment to really say something to somebody, I now know how powerful that is. As someone who sort of hasn't experienced it, I know the weight that can alleviate. You know, I'm not saying make something better, but kind of scratch something off in your head. I did say I love you. I did say thank you. I did say you're great.
I've experienced both, and I tell you, dude, I don't know. I'll be honest, and this is only my personal feeling. I'm not projecting this on anybody else's interpretation of death, loss, or grieving. But I've gone back and forth a lot in my life as to, forgive me for this, is going to sound goofy. There's a 30 for 30, Vladi Divac 30 for 30, about this best friend of his. I think it's Romania.
God, you make everything about 30 for 30.
I thought you were going to say Vladi Divac.
I called an audible because I almost did. Yeah. I was like, what? 30 for 30 alone. Yes.
He came into the league with a longtime friend of his, and their relationship ended, and he died in a car accident, not Vladi Divac, his friend. And they made a statue of him at the time of his death. Like, he was an NBA player, right? Made it out of this small Eastern European country. And the mom said that she was one day at the statue grieving her son, and a guy came up to her and said, he'll always be that. And she said, what do you mean? And he goes, he left us at the peak of who he was, and he'll be that forever.
Yeah.
And so some part of me has felt like in times where I've suddenly lost someone, like my grandpa or whatever, there was no dwindling. There was no sad, long road.
Sure.
Which denied me the goodbye.
Right.
But Bob Vankirk will always be that.
And that was the name of Vladi Divac.
Yeah, I'm getting emotional when I'm talking about it. But like, he'll always be, he'll always be like that guy who could go fishing and fix a car and show you the things he worked on. And like, and he did have heart problems as he went down, but
how
he
old
was
were you?
Gone. 6 and a half.
Yeah. So I think this is what you're driving at. It, and I'm not saying this would happen, but it's a hypothetical. You know, it kind of means, well, you didn't hit 17 and he's still alive and have a big political debate. Do you know what I mean? Like, it means you didn't have this moment where you go, man, everything was so good, but I changed and he changed. Right. And I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Even though you also look at that and you go,
6-year-old grandfather.
Exactly. Well, and even though you do look at it, you go, why? He was a young
Shut up. Just keep going, you Benjamin Button motherfucker.
You're the one tagging it. That's the disease. The disease is so strong that you're tagging in your attempt to get it to stop. But you know what I mean in the sense that you don't have I know it's cynical to go, well, why do you have to assume everything would be bad?
But you aren't 17 and visiting him in a nursing home.
Yes.
Because here's the deal. Rosemary Vankirk is 91.
Yeah.
She lights up a room and she lights up my heart.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose her, but I also don't want to watch her slowly march to the end for herself. Not even just me, but I'm not going to lie and say that what doesn't cause me pain. So in the times where I have had to watch someone dwindle, I got so many opportunities to say goodbye and still have moments and have memories and share laughs and love.
Yeah.
But it was fucking hard, man.
Right.
It was fucking hard.
Of course.
So the other one is like, instant loss,
yeah,
but they're always going to be what they were before they got in that car or walked down that road or whatever, right? And so but instant loss, gutting, literally gutting, right? And then the other one is like so many chances to make your men's or your love or your goodbyes or whatever.
Yeah.
But fuck, it's hard. And it's like, so I don't.
So here's where here's what it makes me wonder. And it's not even something that makes me wonder. It makes me realize how that you should just live, even though it's not easy to do.
That brings us back to how do you and what that is.
It's to me, it's that thing that you would say if someone said, "I've got a week," and you go, "I don't know if I'm gonna. I think this is maybe it. I think this is the last time I'll see you." And I think about this a lot because my.
Well, you should. It's a Tim McGraw song that you're describing.
And that's what I'm getting at is that then I do those lyrics and you're like, you.
And you know,
why don't we play an instrument?
Diving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu.
That's not good.
And I love.
Hold on. That's not deeper. Good. 2.7 is not good.
But he tried.
8 is the goal.
But
2.7.
You know, wait for the hook.
How many cowboys do you think listen to this and go, 2.7 is a fine number?
Dude, he lived like he was dying.
I thought 4 would be okay. Kind of the goal.
I want to go where you were. You have a week.
You've got a week. And I have this with my... So my best friend passed away in December of 2018. And he had liver cancer for so long. Mm-hmm. Which seems absurd because I think it moves pretty quick. But... Like I said, he changed his diet. He did all this stuff.
He did everything.
He did it the way you should do it. Yeah. The way that you should just live before you find out you're sick. But he and I had I'd talked to him and I'd visited him a couple times and it's so insane and it makes me feel so crazy. But even with stage 4 liver cancer, I still didn't think he'd die.
Yeah.
And so I had golden moments and opportunities to really talk. And I'm not saying that that's what you got to do or you should do.
Sure,
it's right. How you live.
Right.
But I really had moments where I could say something and I didn't. And I don't know what, I mean, I love this man. I don't know what, we were like family. I don't know what that is where I couldn't really say deeper like how I felt or felt the need to or even feel rushed to mm-hmm. where literally he could go at any day. Mm-hmm. And I still was like, yeah, I'll be fine. And then it doesn't all hit you until you get that call and you're like, oh fuck. I didn't do it. It's only when someone passes away for me that I finally realize what I should have done, what I should have said, how I should have talked to them.
Rory, give yourself some credit because we're a product of our experiences. And sure. In the last year, especially 2020, and even in the wake of his passing, I know for you, you've gotten much more introspective about what do I want to say to somebody?
Sure.
What do I want to live in this moment? So you are still...
You do come out of... I mean, I should
You are
hope.
Still a product of your experiences.
Right.
Even in the grieving of some of those things, you were like, I'm feeling this.
Yeah.
And I know from knowing you and the things you've conveyed to me as your friend that you were like, yeah, this is hitting me. And I'm like, yeah, you are... So it's still a process.
Right.
It doesn't...
I think that's what I'm trying to like... You know, it's those relationships with how you live with someone that, and I'm trying to sort of drive it back to this letter, like
sure,
feeling like you lied to your mom.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's
I'm going to have a joyous sure. life. Like, of course you can't really promise that. But to me, it's, if I'm there and I'm having to have this conversation with my kid, that my...
What would that mean
everything.
To you? What would that mean to you, to your kid, to say live a joyous life? Maybe that's a good way to look at it. What would it mean to your mom? Don't worry about it.
To hear, I mean, I've said this to my kid. I think about this all the time.
Get
so
out.
I say to my kid, I always lie and say I'm dying. to my kid.
That was a good one. I did not see
that's
that
that's my
coming.
Avant-garde prank. That's my first avant-garde prank. Right, it's not avant-garde. It's cruel. It's very cruel. It's emotionally damaging and it's traumatic. It's not, that's not what avant-garde means.
But she is very good at yeah. expressing her feelings before someone leaves.
Yeah. She is broken and she loves it. I make it a point to say so much to her and I say it in a way where I ask her if she understands what I'm talking about in terms of how much I love her and how happy she makes me and all of these things. I make sure that, you know, if she were to suddenly lose me, I'm trying to make sure she's downloaded all that information into her psyche so that when she gets older, she isn't questioning things. You know, we don't really remember stuff as a kid. Go back and try to remember, and then you have to ask people and they don't remember your life. So how are they going to tell you? I really try to drive it home, you know, how I feel about her. And if I were in this situation, I have to assume that if she said, like, I will be happy, I'll find happiness, I'll find joy, and this is what happiness means to me. Mm-hmm. That would mean a lot to me. And I would have to tell, you know, I would try to convey to her, you know, my only concern in my life right now mm-hmm. is my kid going to be okay? I'm not worried about anything else. And so the day that I think my kid is old enough and is going to be okay,
yeah,
will probably be the first time I smoke a cigarette.
Long drags. Long drags.
I've tried doing cigarettes. But I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, that when I feel that, I will probably be like, Daniel, let's get some old fashions, let's light some cigars, and let's fucking sit on this beach. Obviously, her mom and I will have separated.
Well, you got to live a joyous life.
You know what I mean?
You got to live a joyous life.
Like, for your kid, if my kid at some point in life, unprompted, said, I'm happy, I can't even tell. I would probably... I don't know what I'd do. I would jump up and be like, well, we're going out to eat tonight. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that thing in your brain that clicks the let's celebrate, like, oh my God, like great. Like, even though happiness is fleeting and joy and all these things.
But that's all the more reason to go out to dinner that night.
But if your kid, if I were to sit down, I think I would ask her if I said, I want you to be happy. And if she said, okay, I will be, knowing that I'm having this conversation had. And I would just go, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to you to be happy? And I think that would be the conversation I would want to have, because what I'm trying to convey is that I'm not happiness. I'm just trying. You made me happy by you being you mm-hmm. and you being okay. Mm-hmm. So if you want to know what it is, I just told you, you can have it. You're going to die. I'm going to die. Everyone's going to die. But it's what you think, what makes you happy now. I mean, your whole life, people all tell you, you can't buy it. At a very young age, you think those people are stupid. Then you make a little bit of money and you go, oh, I see. I see what they mean.
Yeah.
Because none of this does it. Right. None of this gives you fucking anything.
Right.
You just don't care. God, I thought of a great phrase the other day.
Do you have it? You want me to say something while you think?
Read a poem real quick.
Okay.
Read one of my poems I always text you. Try to make the listeners think.
This is one of my own.
I fabricate what our lives are like off this show.
This is one of my own. Quote the Raven, nevermore. I want to say about living a joyous life, when I think about how a mom would tell her child, or anybody would tell a loved one, I want you to live a joyous life, and how a person would then say, well, how do I do that? What does that mean, living a joyous life? It does not mean your life is going to be perfect. It does not mean your life needs to be frivolous or without concern or care.
Yeah.
What it means is you can have a bad day at Disney World, but you're still at Disney World. So put yourself in a place in your life where you're doing the things you want to do with your work or your career or your family. You are living where you want to live, in a community or a family with people you love and love you. Put yourself in a good place to have a joyous life. Does that mean that you're going to still have bad days or bad months or even maybe a bad year? Yes, but you're still at Disney World. Does that mean that you spend all your money and don't care and live caution in the wind? No, you don't go to Disney World if you can help it. You don't go there and spend all of your life savings. You go there with what you've appropriated to be there. And so whatever that happy place is for you, maybe it isn't Disney World, maybe it's Hawaii, maybe it's a little cabin in
Indianapolis 500.
Perfect. But you can have a bad day on the 387th lap of the Indianapolis 500, but at least you're at the race.
Yeah.
And so a joyous life is saying with a purpose, I want to be happy in the biggest ways of my life, my community, my people, my family, my work, my home. And understand, it's still going to rain Yeah. But at least it's raining in that place.
God, I love that.
That's what I think is a joyous life.
Not what I said about the 500.
Oh, I like that too.
You only said...
I know, I just like how I pronounced it. I can never say Indianapolis, right?
Do you remember your...
I don't, but I do remember what I want my final thought to be on this.
Okay.
Addressing specifically Sean here.
I'm following you.
And what he wrote. You know, I really feel like my daughter and my dad would have really... bonded. I know they obviously met and spent some time together.
But yeah.
She was so young and, you know, timing, whatever. But now that her personality is really out there, there's so much of her, him in her, and like how she plays games and how she, like when we play card games and shit, and how she shit talks. Like, I know he would have been so amused by it. Like, oh my God, this kid talks so much shit and like backs it, like is good at the game. I know that he'd love it because that was, my grandmother was like that. My dad was like that. Like that just got passed down.
Yeah.
And I think about it all the time. And what really makes me sad is I'm like, I selfishly can't sit and watch them and see if I'm right. I can't sit and see them play a game and sit back and go, I got it right. That is how they are reacting. But what I do think about all the time is her not really knowing him. And then I think, well, I will show her who he was, the things that I liked about him.
Sounds like she's also showing you who he was.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I think, well, I'll show her who he was, the things that I liked. We all have things that people don't like. And so I'll pick the good things and I'll try to be somewhat like that. And so, Sean, to your question, when you say, how do I, you know, you asked a lot of questions here, but how do I keep my promise to my mom to lead a joyous life? I don't think that's going to be hard. I really don't. And obviously, life comes with tragedies and pain, but I think you're going to put it into your kid, and I think you're not even going to know that you're doing it sometimes, and I think you're not going to realize that that is the thing you promised that you would do. It's the thing that, it's just who you are. I don't think your mom asked you to go, well, all right, well, promise. Promise you're going to be happy. I think your mom already knows that you are going to be. And I think she's just trying to say, and I'm not trying to play it down, but I think she's trying to say, look, this is a hiccup. This is a hiccup and it's going to happen. Do not let this derail the whole thing.
Yeah, live
it. Don't
nice
let
life.
This derail the whole thing. And I think your mom's probably the kind of person that's going, I'm not worth it. I'm not worth the derail of all the joy. And I got to say, and I'm not saying that is what your mom's saying. That's what I think. And if I'm right, I think your mom's right. I do think that
that's
is.
That's also what you would say. I'm not worth you being sad the rest of your life.
Right.
I hope I'm worth you being happy the rest of your life.
What you have and what you've built up and how your grandmother fucking watches it. And there's no question Rosemary is just like, isn't Daniel's life fucking crazy? I know all the parents of all of us that do this job and grandparents. I know they think it like, fuck, we're in Rochelle. And then fucking Daniel does this and I've seen him on a thing and his name comes up. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy at every single level. She's going to pass away. And Daniel, it's going to be awful. But it isn't going to be the thing where if you let it derail the whole thing.
Right.
You know that if there's anything after this and she's watching, she is fucking pissed as fuck.
I might take.
Do you know what I mean?
I might take like 4 months. I might go away for.
But I think she would get. She'd be like, take all the time you need. But if you go, I can't. I'm not happy anymore. I don't like this. Like, I think she would go. I truly think, and I've never met this woman.
Yeah.
And I've never met Sean's mom. But I think they look at the end and go, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
What did you think was going to happen?
Right.
And you're going to throw it all, everything you got, the way you feel, who you are, how you are, you're going to let it all go for me. That's what they would say. And it's from our perspective, you go, yeah, that's how much you mean to me.
Right.
But you know, they would go, come on.
Yeah.
And I don't know where I'm going with all that, but to me.
I think you went there.
It's that thing that answers it. I think you don't have to keep this promise. You just got to be you. You've got a kid, your wife. I think it's all, you've already got the joy,
Yeah.
Now just, you got to maintain it through this. I feel bad describing it as a hiccup. You know what I mean by
No.
In the grand scheme of all
what
of
you
it,
mean is it's a
freight train.
It's a thing you get on the other side of.
Yeah.
Is what you mean.
Yeah. But Sean, this is a huge letter. Thank you so much. Agreed. I know you had so many questions that we didn't even get to that I don't think Daniel and I mean, we're not trained. We're idiots.
Oh, I know. How do I care for my dad?
I don't think we can answer that. I don't think that's something we know.
Also, just care for each other.
Yeah.
Just care for each other. Just be there for each other. That's going to go both ways.
Be there.
Just be there.
Be there.
I say that with full heart and editing myself.
Yeah.
Because I could talk for 20 minutes about it, but that's it.
Be there.
Be there.
Find
joy.
We truly mean this. We truly wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Rory Scovel
and Daniel Van Kirk.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.